as we have been doing all along, as we look at the verses that the lessons have laid out, we see some more character traits of this virtuous woman and what makes her so valuable in God's eyes. And as we've said all along, that these are inner qualities, inner workings in her heart that manifest themselves on the outward. And we looked at three verses this past month. They were verse 21, which says, "She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet." Verse 22, "She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple." And verse 24, "She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants." And I know I've talked before about things that we should be putting on and taking off, and these verses all seem to be doing with clothing and apparel and coverings. And so I was like, okay, Lord, what would you have me do with these verses? And he took me on a path that I didn't expect, but a path that I believe I needed in my life these days. But I do want to highlight the three character traits that I believe we see in her in these three verses. In verse 21, is she is not afraid of the snow, because she knows that her household is prepared for all kinds of weather. We see that she's a prepared woman. She's prepared on the inside for what might come her way, and it allows her to prepare on the outside for her family, giving her this clothing of scarlet. And if you ever look up this meaning of scarlet, it's actually a double thickness. And so the clothing that she makes for her family is warm and cozy, and they don't have to fear when they get to church and it's 50 degrees in here because they're warm. Because they're prepared with the right kind of clothing. She looks ahead and knows this might be coming my way, and so I'm going to have my family prepared for that. In verse 22, we see that she makes tapestry for her household. It's fine linen. It's purple. Purple is a color of royalty. We see this fine linen that it speaks of here being used in the temple for the curtains, and purple was often a color that was weaved into the tapestries and workings right within the temple that God laid out. And we see this woman working with purple as well. And tapestries are weavings. They're very fine weavings. You've got your strings that go up and down, and then you have your strings that go throughout. And as it's being woven, you have no clue what's taking place. And there's all different colors of strings that are going through, and some go just a short distance through, and some go all the way through. And it looks like a complete mess when it's being woven, and they have these huge looms that they make them on, and then they crunch everything down, and then they weave some more, and there can be some very dark threads that go through that. And even though it might seem like it's a very light image that's being woven, there's some of these dark threads that are key elements in the tapestry. But when the tapestry is finished and you turn it around, you see this glorious picture of what's being woven. And this, as we look at this tapestry, it's a covering, and it's fine linen, and it's purple. We see that this is a woman of integrity. She's concerned with every detail, and that it's pure. And these tapestries were used as coverings, and there are many verses that talk about how love covers a multitude of sins. She's a woman who isn't out there revealing the dirt of her home. She's going to cover it over. But she also knows that there's going to be some hard things that may come into her home, some hard times, some hard things that the Lord has allowed to come in her life that he's weaving in there, because it's making her into this valuable woman. And some of these dark threads, we may not like them when the Lord is weaving something in our lives, in the tapestry of our lives, because it can hurt. And we can say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing here. This does not feel good. I don't want this in my life. And then he crunches down and you're going, Lord, you know, and then there's times where these strings are stretched and you're going, Lord, that hurts. Ouch. But they're all valuable. They're all valuable to, you have to remember that he sees the beginning from the end. He knows what the tapestry of our lives is going to look like when it's all done. And he knows that that thread, that dark thread that's hurting us right now, that's pulling on us, is going to be valuable in that completed tapestry. And that it's actually serving a good purpose in our life. And I want to read a poem about tapestry that I heard years ago, actually, and the Lord brought to mind as I read this verse. And it's one that Corrie Ten Boom used quite often in her teachings. And it reads this: my life is but a weaving between the Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper, and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why the dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern of that he has planned. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives his very best to those who leaves the choice with him. And so we have to remember that he is the master weaver, and he knows exactly what we need in our lives to fulfill his purpose and his plans in our lives, and that he does see the finished product even though we can't see it. And it's pretty interesting if you look at this person happens to be a weaver, and she shows a picture of the underside of a tapestry, and this is what it looks like. As he does. Oh, that's not the right picture. Sorry, that's the finished product. Sorry, that's the finished tapestry. I'm sorry. Okay. Touchy fingers. That's the bottom of the tapestry. It's a jumbled mess. Sometimes you feel like your life is a jumbled mess. Just a bunch of strings cut off. With no, you can't see the meaning in half of the strings that are, that he's weaving in our lives. And it can be confusing, and it can just be, it can feel messy. But remember, he sees the finished product. This is the finished tapestry on the other side. And each thread had its purpose, and without certain threads, you would not end up with this finished tapestry. And it's the same for our lives. Without certain threads, we wouldn't be who we are. We wouldn't be whatever character qualities the Lord is putting in, as we see these character traits that he has woven into this Proverbs 31 woman, who he calls more valuable than rubies. He's doing the same thing in our lives. Those character traits have been woven into her life, and some of it has not come easily. But they were all needful, and the same thing for our lives. But he has woven through some of the hard things in her life and the choices that he's made, he's woven integrity into her life. And in verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. And so again, we see that this woman is industrious. And, you know, we saw her in earlier verses being like the merchant ship, and she goes afar to provide for her home. We saw her see a field, have a vision for a field, buy it, plant it, and end up with a vineyard. And here we see her making these linen garments and selling them, and even supplying merchants to sell them. So she's a very industrious woman. And these are all cords that the Lord has woven into her life, and he's going to continue weaving in her life. And so at this point, I would say to the Lord, okay, what would you have me to highlight in these verses, these three verses? And he picked out two words, not afraid, in verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow. And he wants me to highlight fear tonight, because we as women can fear many things. And he wants us to look at both sides of it. What might we be afraid of? And what can we do about it? And so I looked throughout Scripture and said, okay, Lord, what are some of the things that we as women might be afraid of? And, you know, sometimes we think nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody understands this particular circumstance. But as I went through Scripture, I was amazed at what people were afraid of in Scripture, because I didn't think there were that many things. But one thing that I see, right in Genesis chapter 3, right at the very beginning, I saw that we might be afraid of our sin. Genesis 3:10, Adam says to God, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Why was he afraid? Because he and his wife had sinned. And now they were ashamed, and they were hiding. So they were afraid of their sin, and that God knew their sin. And so they became afraid. We might be afraid of the complete knowledge that God has of us. Genesis 18:15 says, and this is where the angels have come to Abraham and told Sarah, told him that Sarah was going to have a child, and she laughed. And in Genesis 18:15, she says, but Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. So she knew that they knew something about her, and that made her afraid. They had more knowledge than what she wanted them to have. She had laughed. She knew she had laughed. But they knew she had laughed, and they were putting their finger on the fact that she had laughed. And that can make us afraid, because we might be doing something we shouldn't be doing, or it might be in a situation that could be harmful to us, that we're trying to hide. We think nobody sees, or nobody's going to find out, but God knows, and he might put his finger on it. And that can make us afraid, knowing what God knows about us. We might be afraid of godless places, places that we think God isn't in. In Genesis 20:11, it says, surely the fear of God is not in this place. So there were people who were very godless. And it was evident by their behavior, by their actions, by their words, that God wasn't there. And they were afraid. So we might be afraid to enter a place that we think God doesn't visit, because maybe it's a known drug house, or maybe it's a bar, or just some place that we're afraid to go because we believe that God isn't there. We might be afraid that God doesn't hear us. Genesis 21:17 says, and God heard the voice of the lad. This is regarding Hagar and Ishmael, after Abraham had, because of Sarah, kicked them out of the land. It says, and God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. So we may think somehow that we're crying out to God, our circumstance is difficult, and maybe we're hurting, and we're crying out to God, and we think that our prayers are hitting a tin roof and bouncing back down to us and not making it to God. These two had been kicked out of their home, and they're in the wilderness, and the lad, the boy, is crying out to God. He's thirsty, he's frightened, and God says to Hagar, don't be afraid, because she's afraid as a mother. How am I going to care for my children? You know, is God hearing us? And he says, don't be afraid, because I have heard the lad's cry. He hears our cries when we cry out to him. We may fear the physical harm of man. Genesis 32:11 says, deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother. This is Jacob speaking as he's afraid of Esau after he has tricked him terribly, run away, and now he's coming home, and he knows that Esau is coming to meet him, and he's afraid because he thinks his brother still wants to kill him. And so he's praying, deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I fear him. We can be afraid of people and what they might do to us. We might be afraid of being forsaken, that for some reason we might do something that's so terrible that God is going to turn his back on us. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. This is as they're entering the promised land. Moses has now died, and they're afraid. You know, they've seen the giants in the land. They know that there's people that they see as enemies, and they feel that maybe they've done something. You know, they've had their times where they've turned from God's promise, you know, God's instructions, and he has brought punishment on them. But he's saying, be of good courage, be strong, don't fear or be afraid of them. I know those enemies seem big, but I will not forsake you. I am with you. But we sometimes do fear that we're going to be forsaken, that somehow we're going to do something that God is going to leave us. We may fear death. That is a very strong fear in many. Judges 6:23 says, then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Well, here on earth, we may face a physical death, but we know with our hope and our belief is in him that we have eternal life in him. He tells us, peace be with you, do not fear when it comes to death. Sometimes we fear that our desires or our requests may not be answered. This kind of goes back to the other one, that perhaps we think that God doesn't hear us. Ruth 3:11, this is Boaz speaking to Ruth. She has come to him and laid her request before him that he would marry her. And we know that this is a symbol of Christ to us. He is our Redeemer, and Boaz was her kinsman Redeemer. And Boaz says to her in Ruth 3:11, and now my daughters, do not fear. He's telling her, don't be afraid, just as the Lord tells us, don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. And we know that throughout Scripture, God says to us, if you ask according to my will, know that it's done. And so if we are in God's Word, and we know what his Word says, and we're asking according to his will, he says, you know what? I'm going to answer. I'm going to honor that request. I will do it for you. Just as Boaz said to Ruth, I will do it for you. We may fear the consequences that our actions are going to bring into our lives. 1 Samuel 12:19-20. There was some consequences coming on the people because God told them he was their king, yet they asked for an earthly king. And now they were facing the consequence of that. Samuel is speaking to the people. The people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord God that we may not die. They're afraid they're going to die because of what they had done. For we have added to all our sins the evil of asking for a king for ourselves. So they were afraid of what they had done. And sometimes we do things that we fear that we're going to bring a consequence into our lives. Then Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have done this wickedness, and yes, God knows when we have done wrong. But we can always go to Him in repentance, like we sang tonight. Create in me a clean heart. Ask Him to do that for us, and He will every single time. That's why He went to the cross for us." As Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." So if we do come to the Lord and we say to Him, "I've done this. You know it. I'm sorry. I want to turn from it." We can go to Him and know that He's not going to leave us to forsake us. Don't turn aside from the Lord just because you're afraid of the consequence that might come in for your actions. We may be afraid of evil. There's a lot of evil in this world, and it's getting more and more evil. Psalm 23:4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." These are evil days, but we don't need to be afraid because God is with us. We may fear the future. We might not understand end times, or we may see things happening in our government, in the world's government. We know that things are going to happen for God's plan to take place, and we may fear, will I be here? Will I experience this? You know, what part of this am I going to go through? You know, the tribulation seems like it's such a scary thing. We're not going to be here for that. But we may fear what lies ahead. You know, what choices is our president going to make that might bring something difficult upon us? And so we might fear the future. Psalm 46:2 says, "Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the seas, we won't fear because God is with us." And He holds it all in His hand. He's the one who promotes. He's the one who puts down. He knows who our president is. He knows what the future holds. And remember, He knows the beginning from the end. And again, we may fear man. Like I had said earlier, Psalm 118:6 said, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear man. What can man do to me?" Man may be able to harm our physical body. Man may be able to make us feel pretty bad. Man may be able to, I don't know, turn down, you know, we may bring the gospel to them and, you know, they may laugh at us. But really, what can man do to us? They cannot take us. Man cannot take our salvation from us. They cannot take eternity from us. And we need to remember that the Lord is on my side. We may be afraid of the night. It's dark in the night. We might not be able to sleep in the night. And so we might not look forward to the night. We might be afraid of it. Song of Solomon 3:8 says, "Every man has his sword on his thigh because of the fear of the night." They know that at the night time is when a lot of evil things happen, when a lot of sin happens because it's dark and people think they're not seen. So this was a time when people were wearing swords all the time. I think about these shootings that have happened in the school, and what are they talking about? They're talking about putting guns in every teacher's hands because they're afraid of what might happen. We're afraid of the night. We're afraid of the darkness, possibly. Sometimes we might be afraid that we're not really saved. I know this personally. I've had many times where, you know, things will come into my life and I'll go, "Lord, am I really saved?" You hear stories in the, you know, you hear the wheat and the tares. Well, the tares look just like the wheat. And, you know, and the enemy can come in and he knows how to go, "You know, if you thought, you know, if you think this way, if you do that stuff, if you act this way, You can't possibly be saved. And he knows how to whisper these things and put doubt in our heads. Isaiah 43:1 says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." He has redeemed. It's his work. He is faithful, even when we are faithless, because he cannot deny himself. So, we might fear it, but he says, don't fear it, because he's done the work on the cross. Luke 12:32 says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It's his good pleasure. He went to the cross for you. It's his pleasure to give you eternity. So when the enemy comes in and wants to throw those doubts at you, you can say, it's his good pleasure to give me the kingdom. He has redeemed me, and he's not going to let me go. We may fear rumors that we're hearing. Jeremiah 51:46 says, "And lest your heart faint, and you fear for the rumor that will be heard," and it's talking about rumors of war, rumors that other people might be saying about us. Matthew 24:6, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but don't be troubled by this." It's going to happen, and we're going to hear it more and more. And I believe we are hearing it more and more. But we might fear that. What is it going to mean? You know, what if that country in the Far East gets that bomb that can come all the way over here? And what if it is a dirty bomb and it has chemical warfare on it, and we might become afraid of that? And we become afraid of those rumors. Haven't we heard them? Ooh, Iraq has a bomb. Ooh, Iran has a bomb. Ooh, Saudi Arabia has a bomb. Ooh, and it can reach all this way. And we can become very fearful. We can become gripped in fear because of that. What is it going to mean for us? We might be afraid of the leaders that are set up, you know. We just had a presidential election, and we know who we wanted to get in, and we know who got in. And we might fear that. In Daniel 1:10, it says, this is just a snippet of that verse. It says, "I fear my Lord the King." And this isn't talking about God. This isn't talking about the King of Kings. This is talking about Nebuchadnezzar. "I fear this Lord that's over me right now, this master who's over me." He was afraid of the ruler that was over him because of what he could do. And I know I talked already about death earlier, but here's another verse on the fear of death. Matthew 10:28 says, "Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." So again, we don't have to fear death. Yes, physical harm may come to these tents, but that's all they are, is they're tents. What really makes us who we are is our soul, our spirit, which is going to be in eternity with God. So we shouldn't fear those who can kill this body, but not kill the soul. And Hebrews 2:15 says that he's going to release those who through fear of death were subject to bondage. A lot of these fears that we can have, they are a bondage. I have walked many of my days in fear, and it's crippling. It's torment, and it can keep you from doing things. It can keep you from moving. It can keep you from leaving your house. It can keep you from blessings, and we need to be careful of it. We may fear our worth. A lot of times we might not feel worth a whole lot. And Matthew 10:31 says, "Do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows." And we know that there are scriptures that talk about how God tells us not to worry, not to be anxious about anything. Look at the sparrows. God knows when one falls. How much more valuable are you than they? Look at the lilies of the field, how the Lord dresses them. How much more valuable are you than them? Our worth is incredible to God. His thoughts towards us are innumerable. Don't ever fear what you're worth to God. Maybe we fear that we're unknown. Matthew 14:26. The disciples saw him walking. I'm sorry, not that you're unknown. Maybe we fear the unknown. The disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, and they were troubled. They were afraid, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. That was something they had never seen before. It was this power that Jesus has was unknown to them. And they saw it, and they were physically afraid because of the unknown. And again, we might be afraid of the end times because, that, you know, when you read through Revelation, it does seem somewhat scary. Luke 21:26 says, "Man's hearts were failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth." And so we might fear because it is unknown. You know, yeah, we can read about it and, you know, we can hear the teachings on it, but it still can be a fearful time, especially if there's confusion about when are we going to be raptured, when is this certain stuff going to be happening, and it can be a fearful thing. And maybe we're going to be afraid. Maybe we're afraid that we're going to suffer. Revelation 2:10 says, "Do not fear those things which you are about to suffer. The Lord knows that there may be things that come into our lives that are going to be difficult, are going to be hard, and are going to cause us to suffer. I think of my mom right now, and I think of the cancer that came into her life. I'll tell you, she's suffering through some of these treatments. But he says, don't be afraid of that, because he's with you through the suffering. He's weaving those cords through your tapestry for your betterment, for your care, for building your character. I'll tell you, my mom is a stronger woman inside today than she was in November before this all started. She's a different woman than she was. And I tell you, even though that was a tough road, as the Lord has weaved this through her tapestry, I don't think she would go back to November because of what it's brought in her life. And as we see these things come into our lives, these things that make us afraid, we shouldn't be afraid of them, because we know that God's hand has allowed these things to come into our life, that they are weaving this beautiful tapestry in our life. And God doesn't want us to be afraid of these things. Between Genesis and Revelation, he tells us in the New King James 58 times, "Do not be afraid." In the King James Version, between Genesis and Revelation, 149 times, he tells us, "Fear not." 19 times, he tells us, "Do not be dismayed." And why don't we need to be afraid? Why don't we need to fear or be dismayed? Because 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." What is love? God is love. So if we trust God, if we believe that he has his hand on our lives, that he will never leave us or forsake us, we don't need to be afraid, because God, who is love, is watching over our life, is in our lives, is in us, and perfect love casts out fear. So he can help take those fears, and he can cast them out. And you may be saying, "Karen, that's nice, that's dandy." Yep, I've experienced many of those fears that you just listed, and I don't know what to do with it, because I do get afraid. But I believe that God wants to remind us of a few things tonight. What it says, that our virtuous woman, it said that she was not afraid for the snow, for her household. For her household is clothed in scarlet. She was prepared for these things when they came into her life. Her household was prepared how can we be prepared for these things that come into our lives so that we don't need to be afraid of the snow when it comes? Yesterday, I looked out my window about 1 o'clock, and a few little snowflakes started to down. Then I looked out my window about a half hour later, and there was a lot of snowflakes falling, and the ground was turning white. And I'll tell you, one of my big fears is driving in the snow. I knew in an hour I needed to drive to pick up my kids. No clouds came by, no falters came by. I was afraid. But the Lord tells us we don't need to be afraid of the snow, you know? So what can I do, Lord? I'm afraid. What can I do with this fear that's creeping into my life? And he told me, remember. Okay, Lord, what am I supposed to remember? Remember, number one, God's love. God is love. And we just read, perfect love casts out fear. So we need to remember God's love when we're afraid. Number two, we need to remember God's faithfulness. We have the scripture, and I apologize, I did not write it down, but that says, even when we are faithless, God is faithful because he cannot deny himself. He who has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. So when fear creeps in, we can say, okay, Lord, I know you have a plan, and I know you're going to complete it. You are weaving this tapestry in my life. You're going to use this, and I'm not going to be afraid of this, because you are faithful to get me to the other side of this. Number three, we can remember that everything that comes into our lives has passed before the throne of God and is filtered through his hand. He knows all of our circumstances. He has an intimate knowledge of us, and that he prays for us. Remember the scriptures where he says, comes to Peter and he says to him, Peter, Satan desires to sift you. And he doesn't say, I'm telling him not to. What does he say? But I prayed for you. And on the other side, you're going to be able to strengthen the brethren because of what you've gone through. So we can remember that sometimes God allows that situation that we might be afraid of to come into our life, but he's praying for us through it. And there's a purpose on the other side that we might be able to comfort someone wherewith we've been comforted. It might not feel good when we're going through it, but there's a purpose in it. And it's a useful purpose for, maybe not for you, but for somebody else. He prays for you. We can always remember that. Number four, you can always look back in the past and remember what he's done for you. How he's gotten you through other fearful situations in your life. Lord, I was afraid of this back here, but look at what you did. And we can stand on that. God got me through. And number five, we can remember his promises. He tells us 75 times in the New King James, I am with you. That is a promise that you can stand on. When you're afraid, when you feel alone, when you're not sure what consequences might be coming into your life or anything on this list, when you're fearing death, when you're fearing the unknown, when you're fearing whatever, we can remember he is with us. He tells us 28 times, I will not forsake you. We can stand on those promises. Remember those promises when you're afraid. And one of my favorite verses, and I need to stand on this verse a lot, is in Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to go there and I'm going to read a few of these verses here. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So there are four verses that speak plainly to fear. First, he starts off and says, be anxious for nothing, but instead pray. So when we're afraid, we can pray. Bring those fears to the Lord. And be thankful. Let them be known to God. And what does he say he'll do when you bring those fears to him? He says you're going to be flooded with peace beyond understanding. Have you experienced that? In a situation where you should be afraid, he just overwhelms you with that, with a peace. And people on the outside can look at you and go, I don't know how you're getting through this. It's impossible that you could have peace in this situation. You should be tortured through this. But it passes understanding. They can't understand it. And sometimes we can't even understand that peace. But he promises it if we give it to him. And it says that this peace is going to guard our hearts and our minds. And then he says, and finally, brethren, and this is key. When you're afraid, a lot of times our fears are not rational. They're stories that we tell ourselves. They're things that we allow to go around and around in our head, and we say, well, what if this? What if that? Maybe this will happen. I don't know. But it says here, whatever things are true. Is it true what you are thinking? Is it true what you're afraid of? Is it really happening? You know, is it really going to happen? Maybe not. But is it true? Is it happening right now? Think about that. Is it noble? Is it just? Is it pure? Is what I'm thinking pure? Is it line up with God's word, which is holy? Is it a lovely thing that I'm thinking about? Is it a good report? Or am I fearing an evil report's going to come? And that can do terrible things to our stomachs, you know? Headaches, and if we start thinking about bad reports. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, he says, meditate on these things. If you're meditating on something, you're thinking about it, and you can't get it off of your mind. You can't get it out of your heart. But the one that we really need to think of is it true? Because that can cast out a lot of our fears. One of the questions that over these past few weeks was, what are your greatest fears? What do you fear the most? And as I looked at myself, there's, you know, a few things that I fear, you know. I fear making mistakes. I fear not being a good wife. I fear, you know, making mistakes as a mom. I fear making mistakes as a pastor's wife. I fear that stuff. And, but God, remind me, is it true? You know, is it true what you're thinking about as you think? Well, what if, you know? I fear in the making mistakes with my children. I fear that somehow I'm going to make a mistake that is going to be irreversible, you know? Or I'll be honest, there are times that I fear one of my children will commit suicide, you know? And then I'll fear that it's my fault, you know? God, is it true? You know, there's nothing that I can't touch and turn around. And Joel, he talks about reversing the work of the cankerworm. The cankerworm destroys, but he says, I can reverse what the cankerworm has rotted. And
So is it true what we're thinking? I fear my husband could be unfaithful to me, you know? And he'll say to me, is it true? Lord, does he really love me? You know, you can get in a silly argument and words can come out of the mouth and then you can replay those words and, you know, does he really love me? And then the Lord will be there going, is that true? You know, is that true? And we have to think on those things that are true. You know, he does love me. He does, you know, but beyond that, God loves me more, you know, and that's what we need to think on is how much he loves us and what he's done for us and what lengths he'll do and how he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. And then it says in verse 9, the things which you have learned. And like I said, we can look back in our lives. We've learned a lot through what Christ has done in our own lives personally, but also in what we've learned that have happened in other lives in the Word, in the lives of people around us. You know, we see God's faithfulness as we look in people's lives. We see his hand that's touched, that's brought people through circumstances that are difficult, marriages that have stood incredible tests. We've seen God's hand bring them through. You know, we've seen the bad health reports come in, but we've seen God's hand touch and heal, you know. And we can remind ourselves of that those things that we've learned. Devastating reports that come that are unexpected, but we see God's hand of healing come, you know. We can stand on that stuff. We can look back and say, my God is faithful. And so when I'm afraid, I'm going to remember what he's done and what he promises he will do, because he knows the beginning from the end. And the last thing we need to do, trust him. Trust him. Do we believe what he says? Do we believe his word? We can trust it. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for the reminder that you never leave us, that you will never forsake us, that you are with us always, Lord. And though these fears may come in and overwhelm us at times, Lord, we can always be led to the rock that is higher than I, Lord. That we can cry out, we can know that you hear, and that you will answer, and that we can trust that, Lord. We can trust your love, we can trust your faithfulness, we can trust your promises, Lord, because you cannot deny yourself. You cannot deny your word, Lord, and we can stand on that. And we pray that you would help us to remember that. Remind us of those things when fear does come in, Lord, when the enemy is whispering in our ear, when doubts are coming in, Lord. Just remind us of your faithfulness. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.